Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Forever Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody. The year was 2015. The context was I had just moved to Los Angeles from Brooklyn and I was pretty lonely. And the atmosphere was a party at my friend Jeffrey Self's place. It was like a garden party. And I remember seeing Freckle dancing in the distance and thinking, wow, I've never met anyone like her. So put your seatbelt on, but lose all sense of normalcy and slip into this chat that I had by the fire in my place. Yes, I have a fire in my place. It was the one that I set up, not a tragic fire, but we did talk about tragedy. But please do listen to this real chat. Enjoy. Bye.
I have two sisters, and with my mom, my sister, one sister just got married. My
Your
other
mom
sister
passed away recently.
Very recently,
and
yeah.
I love you, and I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you so much.
Such
yeah.
A toughie thingy.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
It was the first one without her.
Yeah, what yeah, did it was you crazy. Do? Did you talk to her?
Well, I had a very intense, probably the energy I'm coming in today from all last night or throughout the night. What is that called when you go?
Did you stay up?
Yeah.
Really?
Because I had this
you had
like
an all-nighter.
Yeah.
You came in with all-nighter energy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So now that feels good to just get
out. Yeah, just get it out.
I didn't want to. So it's this weird thing. I lost my mom and then my dad 2 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle in between.
Mm-hmm.
My first.
And your uncle was kind of took the role
my
of your dad.
My uncle was like my dad on my dad's side.
Yeah.
Which was like my Green side, not Fresh, but my last name Green.
Yes.
And my grandparents I spent every summer with in Sacramento.
Okay.
I'm from LA, grew up in LA, but I spent every summer in Sacramento with them. So they were like another pair of parents. It was like I lost this older, like...
Your grandparents.
Yeah, like refined set of parents I had that I spent these summers with that when I grew up I wanted to be retired because I just... And they were friends of
the
library.
They had the ideal life too.
Yeah.
What were their names?
Bill and Jean.
Bill and Jean. And that was like, I mean, you also have just this old spirit where we were talking about like shitty Netflix movies and you're like, I'm still getting through I Love Lucy. And I believe that you're very sincere when you say that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many seasons are there of I Love Lucy and how do you watch it?
Six. They have the best of on Hulu and like Amazon, but they don't have every episode. For instance, they don't have when Ethel goes back to her hometown of Albuquerque.
Yeah. Oh my God. I got stuck in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, really?
Last Friday.
Well, I got on
a plane. Yeah. Just a quick aside. I got on a plane to get to Montreal 2 hours in and it's like, it was a red eye. We finished taping the sitcom and I was off to try and get to a corporate at like noon in Montreal. I get on the plane, fall asleep 2 hours in. They're like, we are having a bit of a technical difficulty and we're going to have to land in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Is what I said. I said, shut up. I got it.
That's really cosmic and kismic because I only know one other person who's told me they were from Albuquerque. And when they said that, I went, oh my God, like Ethel from Ethel's hometown of Albuquerque.
So that's where it's set.
Albuquerque, which is my only favorite episode of the entire series.
Is when they go to Albuquerque?
Mm-hmm, for Ethel's hometown. Because she tells them that they're all going to Hollywood for her screen test, but it's actually for Ricky's. And so she puts on a performance at the local
theater. So they, in real life, they had an abusive relationship, Ricky and Lucy, right? Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know much
about... In the show, they also have one? Or... Yeah, because aren't there, like, images of, like, him, like, spanking her and stuff? But it's, like, it's also, like, of that time. In that time, it was, like...
Oh, I always thought it was more of a commedia dell'arte kind of...
Yeah.
Like, pantomiming. Like, it was, like, farce.
Yes.
I mean, my grandma didn't sit me down and have me watch, like, Betty Davis movies or anything.
Yes.
I just, if anything... They really implemented reading. They were avid readers. My grandma read a book a day, like a mystery.
Oh my God.
And my grandpa was a history buff. And
so you grew up reading.
Yeah. And I just was like very in that world of, I mean, they just would talk, you know, the old photographs and how things were done and the etiquette. And what's funny is they're very liberal too. You know, they were hardcore Democrats.
Yeah.
Not like I don't have that like waspy.
So you never inside. You
because they came out of the Depression and my grandpa was in World War II and then came and he worked with the first computers and then which became the phone company, which then he started running Pacific Bell, which then became like AT&T Wireless. So this
and
is like
how old were you when they passed away?
I was a freshman, or the summer of freshman to sophomore year of high school.
Okay.
And so I spent every summer with them.
At first, sort of, people's first, I think the thing that's obvious about you the second that you meet you is how free you are and how in you yourself and within the fluidity of it with regards to gender. I think it seems like it's... This is something that, like, is very now. We're like, oh, our son's going to wear dresses in her. But that was, like, in the past. It certainly wasn't a part of my past. Growing up, you didn't have anyone that told you, like, that this was, like, don't be a fag, or, like, you know.
Well, not from, like, would have been my more classic, this old Hollywood idea of... I mean, really, when I look at my grandparents on my white dad's side of the family photo albums, it looks like
white
you
dad,
see...
White dad, Mexican mom.
Yeah, Mexican mom, East L.A. And more of the... any kind of maybe oppression would have been more on the Mexican side, like the Catholic...
The idea of machismo.
Yeah, and kind of like East L.A., suburb out of East L.A., like...
Yeah, all like... Very distinct gender roles. I think this is great. Because when you came in, you were my Wolfie was here with Shauna, and then I like sequestered them to the other side, and you were like, "Well, don't you like the ambiance of like a real life?" And I was like, "Well, that sounds cool," and I feel like our dogs having both just a very I love Lucy, Ricky, and Lucy relationship is perfect. That's the perfect ambiance. So East LA Mexican side was thrown by your gender expression. And I'm assuming that it was just like since the beginning of you've been you, right?
Yeah.
Like
I don't
it wasn't like
really...
So when did you wear a dress?
No, because I had sisters and I was always like playing with my sister's stuff. My sister and brother are 1 year apart, so I always could have like played basketball, but I played Barbies with my sister. And like my sister drew really well, and so I was always doing like art stuff with her, and I don't know, I was the youngest, so I was obviously like the baby of and like more coddled, I think. And then but I had gone to a Catholic middle school, so we wore uniforms, and it was still the 90s, so I would say there was like, that's gay, when people would say stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't like you were outside of society.
Yeah, but it was still LA, so it wasn't like I like it was tense. Mm-hmm. What I imagine like gay bashing would be like my I was always tall, so I was taller than the other kids and somewhat funny. So like, and I had older brothers and sisters, so like I was savvier than most of the kids.
Yes.
So I didn't have like a horrible bullying story.
That's great.
For young. Because I feel like everyone's equal until, like when you're little kids.
Yes.
Right? Like until fourth grade. And then like middle school's the like awkward one. But.
So middle school would have been where the first areas that you felt like, oh, I'm not normal and you're supposed to be some version of normal.
Yeah. Because it was like, oh, it was just more how like straight everything was. Like I was, it's like girls did this. And
I guess middle school is where like people start
having boyfriends and girlfriends.
Trying to find their sexual selves.
So everybody gets like teamed up.
Yeah.
Especially
that's definitely where I started to feel, because I feel like actually, now that you mention it, in elementary school is where I was wearing my brother's clothes, having a mushroom cut, way more in my butch self. And then in middle school is where I was like, oh shit, I've gotta shave off these broad shoulders. You know, like I don't feel normal. I've gotta be normal.
You had to like.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Be like a cute girl to yes. get boys' attention.
Yes, I felt like I'm a
Did
good...
Did you try getting boys' attention?
Yeah, totally. I just knew that like having a boyfriend was a good thing. And I was a good girl.
Uh-huh.
And which is like a bit of like a daughter of immigrants thing of like doing well at school.
Were you the only immigrant kid in the school?
Not the only one, but I definitely felt...
Was it like
It was a French immersion school.
Oh, right.
A lot of white people, but it's also Canada, so there was, you know, there was a mixed, the diversity was mixed, but there was no sexual, you know, there was no homosexuality. On TV or in school, really, the only examples of it that I saw were like kind of those stereotypes of like a butch lesbian that lives in the woods and axes down the tree and has a terrible haircut and doesn't care about what she dresses. You know, like I felt normal and cool and fun, and I didn't have any until it wasn't until I was in my late teens that I met cool lesbians that I was like, oh shit, this is an option.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting how, you know, I consider myself an advanced person, an open person, but even you know, I feel fortunate to have like good brains and a good sense of confidence and all of that. But even then, I needed to see myself out there to be myself.
Right. And you didn't know about Ellen?
Well, what I did know about Ellen was that she came out in her sitcom and then it was canceled.
Okay. So you did know that.
So like at middle school? That was kind of a Bible story within, because I started doing comedy when I was 16 was like something that kept me in the closet, was like the lesson of like, you know, Ellen came out and then she was canceled. So just like stay in the closet, keep auditioning for the roles that are out there, which are never gay. You know, don't pigeonhole yourself as someone who's gay. I mean, there's nothing out there for someone who's gay. Which is now the total opposite. Now the lesson that we've learned is like, oh my God, you've got to be you. You've got to be you. Our friends that were over here staying with us, our friend Danielle is dating this cutie Jordan, who is like a wardrobe fashion stylist. And she's like works with Vogue. She does like amazing like editorials. And she was talking about when she started working at Vogue, how, you know, like the Devil Wears Prada style, like high pressure, you've got to be this like version of a girl is what she felt when she started working there, with like high heels and like the makeup and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't actually until she started like rolling into the office without makeup, jogging pants and like sneakers that she started rising in the company. because it wasn't until she felt like herself that she had the confidence to be herself that, like, Anna Wintour was like, yeah, you go do that. Which is so, it's so cool. I mean, it's cool, and then it's tragic that some people are still caught in this box of what their parents and society expects them to be, and it forever traps them from really living and from really feeling connected to what they're doing and feeling and being in their relationships and their career and stuff.
Yeah. But that's why I've also had a difficult time with a lot of... Ooh, is that cream cheese on your hand? You know, when it... Sometimes I may be ill-spoken on correct trans terminology.
That's really interesting because you are genderqueer, but you don't know the rules.
And I... as a non-conform, I mean, somebody once, so the word gender fluid was just kind of like, it was up, popping up a bit. And so I like kind of took that on first time I heard it when I was like 26, maybe.
It seems like nice and broad. And,
yeah. I was like, okay, that works. And, and when, and a friend of mine told me who's very, you know, woke with to it. The terms, was like, gender fluidity, trans is an umbrella term for gender fluidity, gender nonconformity, gender non-binary. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I felt ever much so as being all right to say I'm a trans woman of color. I'm Mexican, you know, plus size.
Yeah.
By Hollywood standards.
Yes. Yeah. Hilarious.
And I didn't really think that much about it. And now I think it's fine. I think as I was coming up in the actor realm, there were other actors. There was just a lot of confusion from everybody's like place. I think everybody was confused as where they stood and who stood where and who.
Well, the interesting thing is that I think that the need to put words on everything, it is helpful because in a way, because in the beginning, at the frontier of like gaining rights, it's like, I am a lesbian and I have to be a lesbian and see me as a lesbian. I need rights as a lesbian. But then as I sink into my identity and I really figure out, you know, once you go through the sort of the like go into the forest and figure out who you are, what I realize is like, I wasn't lying when I said I had a crush on boys. I just was leaning into this part of myself that seemed normal when the bigger part of myself was more into girls. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that there's not a bit of a straight girl in me. I'm just more gay. And we're all... And that's why I like the term fluidity when it comes to sexuality, and I like the term fluidity when it comes to gender, because we are asking... I think we're asking people to fit into these boxes that are like... It's a heteronormative and binary way of thinking when we say, I am this, I am that.
Right.
And I find it much more liberating... to just say we're all fluid.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so Freckle's someone who's fluid that doesn't require, I mean, in terms of pronouns, you prefer, your preferences.
I mean, I'm open. So whatever organically comes out of you makes me feel better. Cause then I know that that's how you just feel. And that's great. But that's how I, not
that's how you
not
feel.
Other people.
Exactly.
They and
but
them.
But it's okay for you to feel that way.
Yeah.
You
know? They and them works because I've always kind of had, I went with Jason and then I performed as Freckle and then I became Freckle. And so there was always kind of two. And then when I'm referencing the business, it's like Freckle. And so they, them, I get it when people are me and Freckle, like, I come as two, you know?
Yes.
So I, for a while, I was saying it, because I'm it.
Okay.
reclaiming the derogatory.
Yes.
So one of the issues that I have always had a hard time wrapping my head around with transitioning.
Yes.
Oh, well, I don't have any surgery, and I don't take any hormones. I'm not against surgery or hormones for other people, just for myself. It's not where I'm at in my present day. It's not necessary for me. So,
well, but I just think that that's a cool thing that, like, I mean, I've had Patty Harrison on the podcast, and what a gorgeous trans woman, and so interesting and cool, and what an icon for young trans girls.
Yeah.
But I think it's also so interesting, someone like you who's gender fluid and and can play with both genders. Just that there's different options, just in that same conversation that we're having, where
to
it's like
as
I didn't
role
see
models. Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
I mean,
I always
see,
thought
because
about
I needed
Edna.
To see me. I needed yeah. to see me to be me. Yeah. That people can see you. That you're like online. That you're like thriving. That you're like expressing yourself. You're putting together art shows on your way over yeah. in the Uber, and you're you. And it just provides another example of a way to be that's not quote unquote normal.
Yeah, I right away realized that if I were a woman, I don't even believe in male or woman anymore. So I'm
exactly
like, I'm
it,
another
yeah.
echelon above that,
I'm with
or like
you. I'm
another
with you
dimension.
This
I think
is what
we
I think.
Both are,
yes.
and I think
Here's
we've always
think,
been on that.
Just to define it for the people listening,
yeah.
it's like male and female. When people talk about masculine and feminine, it's triggery to me because I'm like, no, I'm a woman and I'm much more masculine. So don't talk about masculine and feminine because that's generalization. But now what I've realized is like, these are just umbrellas under a bunch of characteristics in which your genitals don't have to do with masculine or feminine. These are just a bunch of, you know, it's like saying blue, and then you would expect blue,
yeah.
blue in all these different shades. It's like masculine, you expect the butch, the this, the
yeah.
sports, the that.
Maybe
the,
yang, more yang,
yin. Yin.
Yeah,
if we'd yang,
put yin. Yin towards like softer, yang more
femme. Yes, exactly.
But then that gets contradictory because like, what about a woman isn't strong enough to bear a child, and what about a man isn't like soft enough to...
Well, that's what I think. It's like the strong enough to bear a child is actually feminine but masculine, you know?
Yeah,
it's like
totally.
You're pushing out. It's like what could
more
be
pain,
more painful?
Yeah.
So that is... So like childbirth is the most masculine thing a woman does.
Yeah, so it almost does not come down to strength, but truly like these roles, these like role playing that we do, and these characters that we play in everyday life, whether that be male or female. And so
and I think
just really quickly,
yeah. I think we find ourselves also in relationships that we do have that yin and yang. Like people will always say to like gay couples, like, so which one's the girl and which one's the boy, which is offensive because they're trying to normalize, but at the same time they're really just trying to understand like which one of you is the one that's
takes
like
it
me
in the ass. Yeah.
Well, but oh. also like which one of you, it's just it does kind of shake out generally that one person plays a certain role because that's the way balance works. Oftentimes a relationship that has balance will have kind of, you know, you kind of just have that what's it called? Unspoken language, like the
Sympatico.
Shorthand, yeah, of like,
synergy.
I know that Shauna's going to pack when we go to travel. I know that I'm going to book the tickets. I know that when it comes time to lift the luggage, I'm carrying the luggage. When it comes time to have babies, she's carrying baby. It's
yeah.
like all just sort of like, anyways.
Yeah.
What you were talking about.
Oh, just that.
I like that you get into trouble.
I
with
get into
gender
trouble. I know,
when it comes
and two things. The reason why I'm coming around to non-conforming is I'm really hitting that word conforming as such a buzzword to anything. Like,
yeah.
Because like, I would never transition from one binary to the polar opposite binary.
Yes.
So in my mind, when it comes to representation, I don't want to be perceived by the same beauty standards
uh-huh.
of a female through the male gaze
yes.
of being sexually desirable.
Yeah.
Because then in that case, then we have to just look at societal norms for cis women to be sexually desirable, which is using all available resources for appearance, seeming modest and nice and thin.
Well, you're going
you know?
From like an empowered gender to an abuse like
yeah.
by society.
And
like
so the idea of like flipped hair, I love a blowout, but I love a blowout and a stash, you know. I love a fake I love a belcho. I love a fake eyelash and a mustache.
Yes.
Oh, I have an acrylic nail yeah. right now.
Yeah.
And a 5 o'clock shadow, you know?
Yeah.
So I always thought of it like if I was gonna represent
anyone.
It's
also like empowering because it's like I'm not running away from. But at the same time, I get why this is then it gets complicated because it is because of the convenience of where you identify in terms of non-conforming. Well, when I said that, it's like
passive.
It's empowered. It's like that insinuates that someone who is taking testosterone or hormones isn't empowered, which is not the case.
Well, I think it comes in. Well, so for I would like to be the representation of Edna or Dolores, who drives the truck. Who drives?
Are these real people?
These women who just don't. You know who are? I see these women at the grocery store all the time.
Okay, got you.
Who you know have very surly jobs and are not using everything to push up their breasts and using
they're not in makeup the fa- they're not in the same cover, fashion
paint
show.
Their feet. Yeah, like there's tons of just like normal, some would say matronly looking, you know,
less glam.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I really want to represent those women.
Cool.
Who works, you know, in a grocery store. I've never worked in a grocery store, but I could study someone who has, you know.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, very Hillary
that's
Swank kind of.
That's where you feel. That we're, that's yeah. Where you, yeah.
I like those Jodie Foster kind of women. I guess I like the
find,
lesbian
do you get,
women.
Do you get in trouble talking about? Well, I guess we're in a time, I guess, too, with the way things are politically and between our dogs, so tense, where.
Hey.
Having conversations where you're not speaking correctly or you're not speaking on behalf of everyone gets dangerous because people feel...
It was just for a minute, but I had to stop hanging out with 26-year-olds. Like, I feel like that's the cutoff point. Like, anybody right out of college, anybody with a blog or an article.
I think there's just the character of the person that's looking for a disagreement and that's looking to correct. And I think that also people, because, you know, Louis C.K. had some joke about how, like, you know, these kids now, they want to be called they. And it's like, I don't want to do that was like the premise of the joke. And it's like, why is it that people, like, what does it cost you to call someone they? But what he's playing on and why the joke hits is because it is confusing for straight America, straight the world. It's confusing for the world because they're what they're exposed to is always so binary. And so when you put, like, you know, even being gay is a wild thing for a lot of people to wrap their minds around. Most people, I'd say, in this country, because it's not their experience, anything outside of your experience. But I also think that most trans people, most genderqueer people, most gay people are way more willing to have conversations than that premise alludes, you know?
Yeah.
It's always the bat. It's like you go traveling and then you get stuck in Albuquerque, New Mexico for the night. And then that's the story that you tell for weeks because it's the hard thing and it's the tough thing. But usually when you travel, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know? But because it's tough, it's like... If you are a straight person and you misuse a pronoun and it's with someone who is looking to have a disagreement, then you're going to remember that. And that's going to be the kind of the stink around being trans or being genderqueer is like, well, these people expect us to know. And it's like, I think I'd
also,
like to
I
say
think
on
they
behalf
and
of
them is a safe one. If you don't know
if
to
you
do
don't
he
know,
or
and
she,
also,
they and them.
If you screw up and someone corrects you, that's completely fine.
Yeah.
We're all at the frontier of knowing ourselves and it's complete. Like no one's mad at you. You didn't do anything wrong. It doesn't mean that you have to hate trans people or genderqueer people because you didn't guess it right the first time. People have gotten my gender wrong my whole life. And I have to say, I used to actually have a joke about it where I was in the bathroom and this girl was like, mom, is that a girl or a boy? And the punchline of the joke was that I ripped out my tampon and like threw it at her head. And my friend Michelle Mama at the end of the show, she was like, hey, I just have to say like that joke, it really hits. People laugh at it and they like it. But like, what are you really saying? You know, like, why was it so wrong that she thought you were a guy? Why did she deserve that in the joke? And it's like, yeah, I guess it's just a joke that I thought about that was funny, but really I stopped doing it because it was like the message of the joke was that you guessed my gender wrong and now my blood is on your forehead.
Yeah.
But I guess now what I'm saying is like we were in Thailand and people kept on calling Shauna ma'am and they called me sir.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that seems kind of right. Like I'm much more of a sir than a madam.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fine.
With Native American culture, you know, you have Two-Spirit and Berdosh, and traditionally we're the medicine people and storytellers of the tribe and healers, so it makes sense that someone like me would be a storyteller, healer, you know.
I'd like to go on the record as saying I'm a healer as well.
Yeah, exactly.
are healed.
I find other countries, well, a lot when I was younger and thinner, for sure, like, I could never tell. I run the gamut, too, of, like, I'm in a passable realm without trying to be passable, and just the way my eyes look, like, when I put on a little bit of mascara, a little lip gloss, and I have long,
I think
long
what you're trying
hair.
To say is you're gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
By traditional standards of conventional standards. So,
you're conventional.
Because I find Kathy Bates to be gorgeous, but...
Wow!
So true!
Yeah. And so, but I find in other countries and other places, people would just immediately be like, ma'am, miss. But where I would almost think like, oh, they're poking fun at me.
Yeah.
They're literally not. They're like,
literally like, that's who
you are. Whether they truly see, were confused and thought I was, or weren't confused at all, thought I was, or just decided to respect me as what their intuition told them, I'm all for that. So
yeah, me too. I guess like in an ideal world,
people
are just...
would be kind of into that.
Because we have been hypnotized. We've been hypnotized by society to have such an aversion to be classified as, you know, me being queer and having that whole sort of, what I said of going to the forest and finding my identity, but then still telling that joke with the slant of like misgendering me is punishable. You know, that's still the layers of society that was saying to me, you should know that I'm a woman. And it's like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah. I also think, people, they're just so locked in to these ways,
and a lot of people could hear this conversation that we're having, and you know that the like knee jerk reaction for a lot of people is like, well I'm a girl and you're not going to take that away from me, and I want to wear my dresses, don't take my dresses away. And it's like, bitch, no one's taking your fucking dresses away. What we're saying is literally your husband could wear your dress, but you probably didn't marry someone that wants to wear dresses, so you're cool.
And that's why with the fluidity aspect, I had to almost consider my own like, I kind of felt less gay.
On next week's episode with Freckle, we talk about this.
I mean, I've always wanted to go to rehab because, like, I grew up in L.A. I read Valley of the Dolls. Like, you know, it was kind of a rite of passage, right? And I went for a tune-up, as I say.
We get deep and chat about this.
Probably the best way to smuggle drugs on a baby.
Freckle says...
I always thought of... wardrobe or clothes as wardrobe, and wardrobe as costume. So the difference between a dress and a suit and a fabric, it always just felt like fabric to me, and never felt too rigid. And also, like, where I grew up, it was cool to go to the Goodwill or Salvation Army and find like oversized coats and like slips.
And Sabrina says this.
Liza, go find a giant overcoat and just wrap yourself in it.
Yeah.
And wait for Cowboy to bring his pink boner over to you.
Yeah,
it's already
paint him
out
a
for
picture. You know better. You know how to seduce. I would hope.
Don't miss it next Tuesday.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. And mastered by Anna Rubinova. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.